Good morning, and God bless you all in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, and welcome to our Glendale Fellowship. And this morning we are all meeting on the phone line. So I have a word of prayer. Almighty God, our gracious, wonderful, loving Father, we're so grateful for your great love to each one of us. We're so thankful for all that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has accomplished for each one of us. We're blessed, Father, to be together to fellowship around your word. Thank you for this opportunity that we can get together in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we haven't done this for a while, sitting here in my office doing this on the phone. I made the decision late Friday to just do the phone hookup. In the email that I sent to the folks here in town, I said that decision to do this was mostly COVID-related. In the past week or so, I've become aware of at least a dozen people that I know personally who have tested positive, both locally here and also out of state. Maybe you've also become aware of some people who are sick. And the decision to do this today wasn't based on fear. In fact, the numbers here in Arizona are going down considerably. And I've heard, and perhaps you have too, that this particular variant runs its course much quicker than previous ones. The downside is that the number of those getting infected is much higher than previous ones. And from people I've talked with, the symptoms are mostly, not always, but mostly not severe. But no one wants to have any symptoms, whether they're severe or not severe. Many of us here in our fellowship are getting a little older. And so, as I've said before, we just do what we've been doing. We continue to pray, and that's a good thing. And you know, just do the best we can for our bodies in keeping our immune system strong. I was also going to say this morning that if you've had the COVID or you get it, it really doesn't help to wonder why. Just pray, and pray lots, and ask others to pray for you. That's a big thing. And then just attack it aggressively the best you know how. Scripture says in Psalm 30, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. And for those here locally, perhaps the gift I gave everybody at holiday time was rather timely. I would encourage you to keep praying for those you may know who are sick, and our prayers are more effective than we realize. And pray for all those who are sick, that they recover quickly. That certainly is the will of God. And if you're feeling really good, you're feeling well, whether vaxxed or not, whether you've had it or not, let's all remember God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So we walk in freedom without fear, but we walk with wisdom. A couple of other things before we pray this morning. The Walking in God's Power foundational class is finishing up this weekend. There's, I think, four or five people from this fellowship that are attending that out in Scottsdale. We will not have Bible Thursday this month. Our next one will be March the 3rd at the Schaefer's. And I had mentioned I'd started this podcast. It's called His Word, and they're very short podcasts. They're under 5 minutes. I started that about 3.5 weeks ago. It's doing pretty good. I've had close to 100 downloads, and I think there's eight episodes up there right now. And from my website, it's easy to share a link to any of the individual episodes if you think that that would be helpful to someone. So that's available on the website. And as you know, if you've been on these hookups before, music doesn't go over phone lines very well. So we will miss Dave and his playing, and also Dan and his playing as well. And we'll just have some prayers now and then get to hear from our loving Father. So Kathy, would you be blessed to start us off with prayer this morning? Well, some wonderful words this morning from our Father. Certainly mentioned love a number of times to us, and that's pretty timely in light of what I'm going to share this morning. If you would, take your Bibles and go to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. That's where we're going to begin. Today's Sunday, January the 30th, 2022. And we're going to begin in the book of Ephesians, the last verse of chapter 4, a verse that I'm sure we're familiar with. It says in Ephesians 4:32, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." And often we think of this verse in terms of forgiveness, forgiving others because God forgave us. And that is definitely something wonderful to think about when it comes to forgiveness. And of course, this is in the context, as you know, of putting off the old man and putting on the new. The old nature is not kind, it's not tender-hearted, and it doesn't forgive. I'd like you to notice that this verse doesn't just say forgive. It says be kind one to another. Kind means to be mild, pleasant. It's the opposite of harsh, hard, sharp, bitter. Be kind one to another. And God is kind. I mean, the very next verse in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says we're to be followers or imitators of God as dear children. God is very kind. In Luke 6, it talking about God, he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. That's part of God's nature. He's kind. You know, last week, I think we saw where the Word of God says God is love. That's part of his very nature. God is love. God is also very kind. I mean, he's kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. In Romans 2, it says the goodness of God leads you to repentance. That word goodness is kindness. Same word. In 1 Peter 2, the Lord is gracious, or the Lord is kind. So as imitators of God, putting on that new nature, be kind one to another, mild, pleasant, not harsh, or hard, or sharp, or bitter. And then it says tender-hearted. And tender-hearted means having compassion or being sympathetic. It means to, the opposite would be critical. We're not to be critical or judgmental. You know, we don't always take what people say or do as a personal attack. And, you know, you never know what someone else is going through or dealing with. So we're to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Forgiving. We let it go. I think God's let it go for us. Once, twice, maybe a lot. And God did that for us. Does he bring it up again? No, let it go, forgiving one another. So this is what God says we are to do to one another. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And I've mentioned this a number of times over the past months, and I still believe it's true. Now, more than ever, we need to love one another. The climate of our culture continues to produce a lot of anger, hatred, division, distrust, suspicion, criticism, all these things. And none of those are godly. And for us as Christians, as born-again ones, as members of the body of Christ, we conduct our lives according to God's word. And we watch to not allow suspicion, criticism, division, all that stuff, not allow that to subtly carry over into the body of Christ. Kindness, tender-hearted, forgiving, we need that now more than ever. More than ever, we need to love one another. Ephesians 2:4 says that God is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. And you know, the scripture tells us, we'll look at it now, 1 John 4. God's the one that initiated love in the first place. He loved us first. It wasn't that we got so holy that God went, wow, I need to love those people. Look at them. They're so loving. They're so good. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And down in verse 19 it says, We love him because he first loved us. God's the one who initiated love. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, But God commended his love toward us, in that when we were good enough, But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. I mentioned a few minutes ago that verse in Ephesians. Let's look at that. Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or behavior in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. God's great love for us. He loved us first. He's the one who initiated the love. And you know, God's word says we're to be imitators of God. Therefore, we love. We extend love, especially to one another. In John 13, Jesus Christ talked about us loving each other. John 13, when he was speaking about love in verse 35, our Lord Jesus Christ said, By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. We're to love each other. And now, more than ever, we need to love each other. Go to Romans chapter 12, if you would. You know, when we were looking at the book of Ephesians a couple of weeks ago, we noted that chapter 4 of Ephesians, we're going to Romans 12, but we noted that in chapter 4 of Ephesians, that began the practical side, how we're to conduct our lives. And we're to be renewed by putting off the old nature and putting on the new nature. And I mentioned that chapters 4 through 6 is the practical side and shows us how to walk in that new nature. Here in the book of Romans, the practical side begins in chapter 12. And once again, It is the renewing of our minds, putting off the old and putting on that new creation. And I want to read you a note about the first part of the book of Romans. This is a note in the Working Translations where Reverend Cummins said, Romans 1 through 8 declared what God had done for mankind through Jesus Christ. Romans 9 through 11 said that God chose to have mercy on both Judeans and Gentiles after Jesus Christ's accomplishments, and it tells them how to receive what God made available to them by Jesus Christ. Beginning with Romans 12, the epistle sets forth things that ought to be done by those who have received the things from God spoken of in the earlier chapters. That's a nice little summary of the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans. And you see, that's why the first word in verse 1 of chapter 12 is therefore. Therefore. I know it says in King James, I beseech you, therefore, but therefore, because of all that went ahead, therefore. And I'd like to read verses 1 and 2 from the Working Translation. Therefore, brothers, I exhort you by the compassion of God to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy or sanctified, well-pleasing to God, which is your logical divine service as sons of God. Do not be fashioned by this age, but be transfigured by the renewing of the mind, so that you may prove what is the good and well-pleasing and mature will of God. And so once again, renewing the mind is putting off the old nature and putting on the new man, that new creation, the new you, putting on that whole new nature that we received when we got born again. And we find out about that new nature from the seven church epistles. And part of what we put on is love. A little farther down in Romans 12, verse 9 says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Let love be without dissimulation. That word means unfeigned, unpretended, or without hypocrisy. It's genuine, unpretended. And verse 10 goes on to say, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. So not only, you know, love in verse 9 is that agape love, the love of God, not only that, but brotherly love too. And this probably comes as no surprise, but every church epistle exhorts us to love one another. And again, now more than ever, we need to love one another. Love more. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would. In verse 25, it says, 1 Corinthians 12, 25, that there should be no schism, division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. The same care one for another. You know, don't pick out favorites. Well, he's not very lovable, so the same care one for another. We do what God's word says to do. And now more than ever, we need to have the same care one for another. Let's go back and just read this section. It's, I'm sure, probably familiar. We'll start in verse 12, this wonderful section. For as the body is one, there's one body. It's the body of Christ. All born again believers belong to the body of Christ. People can come up with different groups, different names, different this, but from God's point of view, there is one body. Everyone who's born again is part of that one body. Everyone that's born again is a member in that body. For as the body is one, verse 12, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, well, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, I'm worthless, I'm no good, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, well, because I'm not the eye, guess I'm not very important, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it's pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And that little section really points out that every member is important. I mean, if you're the ear, you're just as important as the eye. If you're the little toe, you're just as important as, I don't know, a bicep. It's an analogy to show us that every one of us is important. And then the analogy goes on, and it says in verse 21, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, I don't need you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, no, no. Much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Why, we pray for each other. And, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Something wonderful happens to a believer, we rejoice with them. Hey, that's great. Not like, oh, geesh, they're always lucky, I'm never. No, we rejoice. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. It's a beautiful section. And, you know, it's the epistle of Corinthians is reproof for the doctrine in Romans, right? And Romans 12 talks about doing whatever it is you do well, do that to serve in the body. Use your talents, abilities, what God has given you, or what God's called you to do to bless and edify the body. And you know, there are times when, you know, we run into some obstacles and roadblocks in our own personal lives, and so we really don't do much. You know, we're busy taking care of whatever it is, our health, or, you know, a certain situation may come up, but you know, we can always still pray. We can always pray for people. Even at times when we're down, we can still pray for people. But, you know, Romans 12 just talks about, hey, whatever you do well, do it to bless the body. And we do that with love. We reach out with love one to another. And we avoid, if we're going to walk with love, we avoid being critical, judgmental. We reach out and interact with kindness, tenderheartedness, forgiving one another, looking to see how we can encourage and help one another, edify one another, build one another up. We love one another. And again, these days, more than ever, we all need more love. And, you know, for those who don't know God's word, think they need love? Yeah, they need love too. And they need to see people who are not, you know, a product of our culture. How refreshing for those that don't know God and his word and his great love and salvation and the promises of God and the healing from Jesus Christ. How refreshing for those people to see people who are not angry, divisive, depressed, critical. See, we can let our light shine by walking in love. We can let people see loving people who have conviction. Make no mistake, we are convinced of the truth of God's word, and we're not afraid or ashamed to speak it, but we speak it with love. We're going to close this morning in Colossians chapter 3, if you would. Love, 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 love. We are not this morning, we're not going to read 1 Corinthians 13 this morning. I encourage you to read that sometime this week. And as you know, that chapter 13 is all about the love of God, but it is in the context of spiritual matters. That section begins in 1 Corinthians 12 and goes through chapter 14. So it is in the context of spiritual matters, but I think you might remember that the last verse of 1 Corinthians 13 says, "Now abideth faith, hope, charity." That's believing, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is charity or love. The greatest, if you're talking about believing, we know how big that is, hope. Oh my goodness, the hope of Christ's return. We're excited about it, right? We look forward to it. We anticipate it. Believing, hope, love, these three, the greatest of those is love. So how important is love? The greatest is love. We're in Colossians chapter 3, and let's go to verse 12. I'm going to read this to you also from the Working Translation. Therefore, holy, or sanctified, and beloved ones, as God's chosen ones, clothe yourselves with merciful compassion, kindness, humbleness, meekness, long-suffering. That put on, you know, it's like clothing. It's like putting a shirt on, putting a jacket on. Therefore, holy and beloved ones, as God's chosen ones, clothe yourselves with merciful compassion, kindness, humbleness, meekness, long-suffering, upholding one another, and forgiving each other. If anyone has a complaint against anyone, then even as the Lord forgave you, so you also ought to do. And then verse 14, look at this. And above all these things, clothe yourselves with love, which is the uniting bond of maturity. That's a great way to translate that. Bond of perfectness it's the bond of maturity. You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been studying the Bible, how many classes you've taken, how much this and that. The maturity comes from love. Love is the uniting bond of maturity. We love. We love one another. So I'd like to read those verses again. Verse 12. Therefore, holy and beloved ones, as God's chosen ones, clothe yourselves with merciful compassion, kindness, humbleness, meekness, long-suffering, upholding one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against anyone, then even as the Lord forgave you, so you also ought to do so. Let it go. Above all these things, clothe yourselves with love, which is the uniting bond of maturity. These crazy days we're living in, and you know, I don't need to go through a laundry list. Not just the COVID, but you could go through a laundry list of things. But in these days we're living in, we trust God. We pray and ask God to help us with whatever it is we need. And we walk with great love. We let our light shine. And now more than ever, we need to love each other more. And let's love people we run into. So, Father, we are so grateful to see in your word your great love. When we were dead in trespasses and sins, God, you still loved. You so loved the world, you gave your only begotten Son. And we're so grateful, Father, to know that because of your great love, we are children of the Most High God. We have obtained eternal life. You have forgiven us of all our sins. You've made us righteous. Thank you for that great love, because you are love and you are kindness. May we be imitators of you, manifesting your love, your kindness, your tenderness, your forgiveness. And Father, when we fall short and mess up, may we just pick ourselves up and dust ourselves off and ask for your forgiveness and move forward, loving you and loving others. Thank you for the privilege of sharing your word this morning with your wonderful people, as we all look forward to that great day when Jesus Christ returns. Thank you for all of your blessings to each one of us, in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I love you. Thanks for being on the hookup this morning. This teaching will be posted on my website, confidenceandjoy.com. The tab to find it is Recent Teachings. And we will be having fellowship again next Sunday, unless we get gathered together, which would probably be the best. So until then, God bless. Love you.